It's the Monica J Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Log on to our poll question today at 991fmtalk.com. Today's poll question. This is just so frustrating, okay? I'm having a hard time with this. Today's poll question. Should employers... And remember, your job depends on this, okay? So keep that in mind. Should employers be allowed to force COVID-19 tests on employees as a condition of employment? Yes, no, we have another answer there already, invasion of privacy, get a lawyer. And there's a little button there that says other. When you hit that, means you can put in your own comment. But remember, those comments are monitored for profanity. So, yeah, I can honestly tell you, I would not be working at Evans Broadcast Company if when I come in, somebody is there ready to take my temperature and do a test on me. Again, it goes back to what we were saying about China. When does your integrity fall into place here? Are you going to allow this to happen, or are you going to say, no thanks, I'll go find something else? Because employers pretty much have the opinion that, go ahead, we'll fill your job like that. But, you know, there are people willing to stand for their values. I love it every time I see a company put a sign in their window that says, no masks allowed. Remember when people walking into a bank with a mask on used to be a bad thing? Well, now, not only do we just let criminals out of jail, we let everybody just wear a mask. We let them go in and just steal things. If it's not of a certain value, we're not going to worry about it. We need to pull this together, people, because we are going downhill fast. A lot of people, tens of thousands of people, working together to recall Governor Sisolak. Because in the beginning, we were talking about red flag laws and parental rights laws, people didn't seem very interested. We'll get it at the next legislature. Yeah, how many times do you see things voted in by the legislature that are actually repealed? Can you tell me that? But since elected representatives were going around telling businesses not to support this, they were telling people that it's going to fail. I mean, I've even walked up on elected representatives saying that it's going to fail. Well, of course it is. When you put that into people's minds. So I look at our representatives, talk about a failure. All of them except for one, from my understanding. John Ellison, all the way out in Elko. What do you say to that? I say you take a good hard look at your elected representatives. Because if you signed the petition, and they didn't, not really representing you, are they? businesses intimidated to keep the petition out of their businesses? Some of them even threatened? Is this the way that you really want this country in this state to work? A lot of people up in arms about those red flag laws, no pun intended there. But the ones that people seem to keep missing is the parental rights one. Why do we still have so many parents who say, what do you mean parental rights? That your child can leave school, get an abortion, and then go back to school? And you as a parent will never know? Why did you have kids in the first place if you have no rights to raise them or know what's going on with them when they're on school property? Well, I have to call in the experts for that. So, Melissa Clement joining us right now. Melissa, you have your work cut out for you. You and your team, Nevada Right to Life. This is incredible that people still don't know what happened in our last legislative session. Thank you for joining the show.
Well, Monica, thank you for having me on, and thank you for being an advocate on this issue, because as you know, it's what gets me up in the morning and gets me motivated, because I'm going to get this done with the help of everybody out there. And you're exactly right. You know, in fact, in Nevada, if a young girl is biologically capable of getting pregnant, even if she's 8 or 9 years old, she's legally able to do it and do it alone. And if you can even imagine an 8-year-old, a 17-year-old girl facing a situation that is overwhelming for her, and she can go ahead and make a life-changing, life-altering, could be physically challenging, definitely going to be mentally challenging, and she can do it without even a parent knowing. It's mortifying. It's horrifying. And
Go ahead. You and I have had long conversations about this, because you know I worked at Family Planning, which is not an abortion clinic, as you know, people try to compare them to Planned Parenthood, but I have worked in abortion clinics. I've worked for Feminist Women's Health Center before. And I can tell you, when you talk about young girls, when you talk about, you know, 13 and 14 year olds, there were women coming out of there in their 20s, women in their 30s, who still had emotional breakdowns, who cannot recover. We see them for counseling sessions afterwards when they come back in and talk for their checkups. And for that to happen to somebody in their 20s or 30s, it is unbelievable what a child in their teenage years, or even 12, just going through puberty without that support and confidence of the people that love around them, mm-hmm. they're going to have serious problems in the future.
Absolutely, and it affects the whole family, because, you know, here's this young girl, and she's got a secret that already she made the decision she didn't feel like she could share with her parents, and now that it's done, she feels like she really can't share it. Mm-hmm. And she may be running a temperature her parents don't know, and she may be developing some bad coping skills as well, whether it's drinking or drugs. Mm-hmm. And you know, the vast majority of parents are all about making sure their child is loved and cared for. And they're there for every difficult decision a child and situation a child gets into. Why is this one different? It shouldn't be.
Melissa, were you following the legislative session to before this came about? Was there support for it from just Democrats? Or, I mean, how did this bill even get in there?
Well, I need to clear up some misunderstandings that a lot of people have. You know, quite honestly, that we have never had protection for girls and parents. We've never had parental notification in Nevada because in 1985, when they passed the law originally, Planned Parenthood sued and got it thrown out. So it sits there in our law, but it's never been enforced. And we have tried and tried and tried to get legislatures to fix it so that it could be enforced. And sadly, it's never gotten done. Now, the last legislative cycle, the Democrats were not happy enough that it was just not enforced. They wanted to yank the whole thing out of law so that it wouldn't even be there. And they also removed the one safeguard kids had, which was that the abortionist had to provide documentation that he checked their age. Not that stopped them or anything. So now abortionists are protected even from, you know, let's say I find out my 11-year-old got an abortion and I go back to that doctor. There's no record of what her age was or anything like that. So, you know, the question becomes, can I sue? I don't think so. So the changes they made in this last legislative cycle, it was all about protecting abortionist's bottom line. Not one thing they did helped women, and not one thing they did protected our girls.
And yet Planned Parenthood was involved in the lobbying and using taxpayer dollars against taxpayers.
Oh, absolutely. You know, what a great situation they have. I mean, because they've got they're the largest abortion provider in the country, and they make millions of dollars from abortions. And then they can sell these abortions right in our middle schools and high schools. They can tell those kids that, hey, you've got reproductive rights and you don't have to tell your parents and we'll help you get around it. And then, they take those girls and cash that cash. It's horrifying. It's buying and selling our girls. They're commodities. They're a paycheck. And it's, like I said, we tried and tried to get the legislature to deal with it. And sadly, the numbers were not in our direction. And so we've decided, you know, we as parents, we as citizens, we're tired and we're just going to take matters into our own hands.
Well, unfortunately, with our legislative process and the people that have been elected, that's what we have to keep doing. So, Melissa, please stay on the line and let me take this over to the next segment because I really want to know if we can fix this here in Nevada. So we'll be right back with Melissa Clement from Nevada Right to Life right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Live, local FM Talk, KKFT, for Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
It's the Monica Jay Show, your show, live and local for all of Northern Nevada and protecting those most vulnerable. Those who don't get off of their tuchuses and go vote. That's, you know, I'm sorry, but that's why we're in the situation that we're in. And that's why people still don't even know about the parental rights bill that went through in the last legislature. So joining us right now on 92.3 and 99.1 is Melissa Clement. She's with Nevada Right to Life. And Melissa, in the last segment, we were talking about the bill itself and what the legislature has done and what Planned Parenthood has done. But is there any going back for Nevada? How do we fix this and give parents their rights back?
By November 10th, it will force the legislature to remedy this problem the way we have asked them to do it. And if they don't do that in this next legislature, it goes directly to the ballot in 2022 on the general election ballot. And by golly, we will win there because 7 in 10 people feel very strongly that a young girl should have a parent involved when she's making a major medical and life decision like abortion. So that's what we have done. We've filed it. We've started it. We're gathering signatures, and we've got a couple of ideas on how we're going to get those 100,000 signatures.
Now, you have until November, but how are you collecting? Are you collecting online? Are you collecting in person, different locations? Do you just show up, or do you actually have businesses supporting you and have the petition available for people to sign?
What we're doing right now, while we're still kind of in this weird quarantine or whatever we call it at this point, phase,
farce.
Whatever. What we're asking people to do is go online to the protectourgirlsnv.org and download a petition. There are 7 spots to get signatures. Number one, you need to be registered to vote, so make sure you are. Sign that, and then get 6 other people in your neighborhood that are registered Nevada voters to do the same. Give us a call. We'll come get it notarized and pick it up from you. And then we're asking you to go find 7 other people who will do the same thing. And then the last thing, because these things are cost money, as we know, with the recall and all the other things that we've done, if you can donate $7 to help us make it over the finish line, that's so we're calling it the 7x7 campaign. Download, get 7 signatures, find 7 friends to do the same. And if you can possibly manage, shoot us $7.
Hey, it's the 777s. This is Nevada. Mm-hmm. That's lucky for us.
Exactly. Now, we have people who have been getting petitions signed, and we thank them very much. We've got our first notarizing day tomorrow. We're going to be out in Carson City in front of the legislative building tomorrow, collecting and notarizing petitions, and also handing out petition packets, 7x7 packets, for anybody who's interested.
See, once again, to go to the rally tomorrow in Carson City, because it's not only just, you know, standing up for Nevada and getting Nevada back open and getting the governor to take notice, but you will have opportunities to be involved in other projects that basically have to take control back for Nevadans, like Nevada's Right to Life. So, Melissa, thank you so much. How can people, again, find out more about the petition and about Nevada Right to Life to be on board?
Excellent. Thank you, Monica. Again, it's protectourgirlsnv.org for the petition process. For Nevada Right to Life, really super simple, nevadarighttolife.org, all spelled out.
Now, keep this in mind, okay? Because Melissa and I differ on our opinions, because I am still pro-choice up to a certain amount of weeks. You do not
right.
have to be pro or anti-choice. This
correct.
This is pro-families. This is pro-protect our girls, okay? It doesn't matter how you feel about abortions. It's about parental rights. Should a child be able to make a life-altering decision without a parent? A lot of people are passionate about that. So please, come tomorrow, help support. I have to literally wring my hands, Melissa, every time I start talking about Governor Sisolak and this legislature, just to keep me from exploding. It is really difficult.
I know.
So that means
yeah.
I get a hug tomorrow when I see you.
Absolutely.
Because that brings
too.
My anxiety level back down.
All you know right. what? And also, Monica, when we succeed with this, parents can be parents. And more importantly, kids can be kids.
I love it. Imagine that. Imagine when you were 12 years old. Is that a decision that you could be making on your own? Melissa Clement, I will see you tomorrow. And thank you so much for all the great information. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you, my friend.
It is the Monica J. Show, but it is your show. It's your concerns, the issues you need to know about. Did you not know stuff like this was going on during the legislature of the last legislative session? Where are all your elected representatives screaming at the top of their lungs that this is even a possibility? When you put through 1,500 bill drafts, talk about hiding things. It's just incredible once you start waking up to all this. We'll be back right after this Fox News update on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
The FM News and Talk of Nevada.
It gives me great honor to introduce
The Monica J. Show.
A patriot of the first order.
On FM Talk 99.1.
KKFT.
92.3 FM Talk.
You got your opinions and I got mine.
Hey, it's the Monica J. Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. So glad you're with me today. We've been talking about so many different things. And great candidate interview this morning for, if you're in the Washoe County School District, 25 minutes, honey. If you're in School District D, Stan Burke was on with me, and that'll be on the podcast. And just, you know, great ideas. So that's what we're trying to do, have candidates on every single day. 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. I try not to put my opinions into the candidates because there are so many that I know and are friends with. And there are so many good ones out there, but there are more bad ones than there are good ones. And I want to bring up this fact once again of Joel Beck running for Congressional District 2 against Mark Amadei in the primary. There's another candidate, and that is Jesse Hurley, who has been telling groups that Joel actually dropped out of the race and would be endorsing him. And that's not true. Absolutely not true. Joel Beck is still in the primary, and that's who I'm voting for. So look at the candidates. Know who you're voting for, and keep in mind that incumbents, why are they incumbents? Is this just the career now that they've chosen? Are they really doing anything for you, for the people of Nevada? That's going to be our poll question on Monday, is should there be punishment? Should there be consequences when political opponents spread false information? So I can't wait for that one. Today's poll question, though, hitting a little bit closer to home with what's going on. In the very beginning of the show, I had somebody text me about they showed up for work. They have been employed this entire time, but when they showed up for work, that had to have their temperature taken and a test. And wasn't quite sure what to do if they were going to take that test. Hence today's poll question. Should employers be allowed to force employees to take the COVID-19 test? We're getting some interesting answers on here. What's next? Basal temperature taken to prevent hiring pregnant women? This has gone too far for too long. If someone displays COVID symptoms and still wants to work, then maybe they should take the test or just stay at home and try again in 2 weeks. You know, COVID systems are generic. I mean, literally, fever, body aches. Let me tell you this, as they work on a vaccine. Guess what? There's vaccines for the flu. And people take them and still get the flu. Do you really want to take a COVID-19 vaccine with all what Bill Gates has been doing, with all of what he's been working on with the World Health Organization? He says it all along. It's about depopulation. Ah, we're not making this up. He says it. Let's go back to the phone lines. 884-9910, talk and text. Terry's on the line with us. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Monica. How are you?
I am, geez. I'm about at my wit's end, just like everybody else.
Well, I was taking my lunch break, and I was listening to your show, and I was listening to a guy talk about getting some steel from China.
Uh-huh.
And they were talking about buying stuff made in America. Well, my wife bought a pair of shoes online, and the company says it's made in America. And it was taking a long time to get the shoes, so she went on the tracking to find out where it was at. Well, come to find out, the shoes came from China. And they went through Hong Kong, and they went through a big spiel over there before they got here. And so what I'm getting at is it's kind of hard to know whether you're buying actual stuff made in America or not.
It really is. And I think that companies will get better at that. You know, it's like, look at our food, Terry. Uh-huh. Things can be put together in China, but it comes from the United States, like, you know, even our beef. Shipped over there,
it's
processed and packaged over there, and then it's set back. Ugh, God, is that really something that you want to eat? But it's the same thing with cars.
I think they need to do something about that.
Yeah, that is what I think Trump is doing, that we are bringing back this manufacturing to this country. And I think it's going to open up doors for the shoemakers. It's going to reopen those doors, you know, that people lost. You know, all of those things were shut down, shipped off to China because of the costs, the labor costs. And we're just going to have to suck it up in the long run that, all right, and instead of paying $10 for a pair of cheap sneakers, we're going to have to pay $15 or $20 because that's what it boils down to.
These shoes weren't cheap. These shoes weren't cheap, but the companies ought to, you know, they shouldn't be able to say they're made in America if they're not.
Yeah, they shouldn't.
Just because the company is here in America.
Well, and look at the major companies that still, you know, UGG was this huge Australian company, and they are still themselves. They're a big Australian company, but everything is made in China now. It's very deceiving. So, Terry, thank you so much for the call and bringing that up. Let's go back to the lines and check in with Kurt this morning. Hi, Kurt.
Hello. There I am.
Is this Kurt Gottschalk?
That would be me.
Oh, my gosh, Kurt. I have been wanting to get a hold of you. You're running against Neoma Jardin?
That is correct.
Are you a Republican?
Yes, I am.
Why is that not in the Republican information that is being sent out?
That's a good question. I got in late. You know, I made one of those spur of the moment decisions and went down to City Hall, filled it out, paid my money, and you know, beyond that, they are assisting. Now, I am working with the Republican committee here.
Good. I am glad to hear that. So, Kurt, what do you bring to the table? I want to talk to you for just a few minutes here real quick. What are you bringing the table against Neoma Jardin? Because she says she's a Democrat, or she says she's a Republican, but she votes with the Democrats all the time. And I want to see her out of there.
No, I think a lot of people do. And I'm an individual who... the phrase gets coined a lot, the career politician. I think she fits the definition of it. And two terms is enough. Three terms is too much. What I can bring to the table is a vast amount of business experience. I've had my own companies. I've run my own companies. I've worked for small business, medium businesses, large businesses. And some common sense and some passion there. Our Reno government is, you know, in my opinion, out of control. They
What do you think about the budget that they just passed with no cuts?
I was just about to say, what is a flat budget? I've asked people, and I had to Google it myself, and I kind of had an idea, but once I saw what the definition was, I said, this is insane, because their financial people, the board that kind of gives them financial advice, told them you need to cut by 15%. State government is out there cutting. A flat budget does us no good. If they're looking to be taken over by the state, okay. If they're looking to file bankruptcy, I see what they're doing. But no, they need to be making cuts now. They need to. One thing, here's a good idea, I think. How about eliminating all overtime? You know, there would be a big chunk right out of the budget. But we need people on the council that will not go along with the crowd, that are willing to ask the tough questions, and especially of staff, hold their feet to the fire. I was part of the Northwest Neighborhood Advisory Board for 2+ terms. I got termed out, volunteer position. But if you remember back when the Flying J wanted to build a truck stop up at the end of Robb Drive and I-80, staff came in and said, hey, yeah, we're all for this. And we looked at them and said, no. You need to go back to the drawing board. We're not in favor of this. And we stopped it. But that's just, a little bit about what I've been. I've been here 40 years. I've lived in Northwest Reno for over 35 years. And I will retire from what I'm doing at the end of this year. So I will be able to be a full-time representative for you.
All right. What information do you, or what sources do you have out there for people to find more information on you? Do you have a website or is it just social media?
Well, I just finished. I was on Ballotpedia. Thing they wanted to fill you out for like 2.5 hours last night, filling that out. So they can check with Ballotpedia and, see the answers to all the questions they asked about that. I will put up a Facebook thing this weekend. I've just been I'm one of those essential workers, Monica. I've been working 50 to 60 hours every week. And I have literally not had a whole lot of time to spend. But
here's your first piece of advice, Kurt. You got to get some help and get one of the, if you've got somebody under 20 in your family, then get them on that Facebook and the website for you, or just get some help, because you need to unseat Neoma Jardine. And we need to get the information because a lot of people have already voted in the primary. And so go ahead.
I understand. And we're going to be making a lot of phone calls this weekend. We just got a new computer, so we're out of the dinosaur age with our old one that kind of blew up. But now we can go back and start making a strong push there and utilizing the resources from the local Republican committee and, make a last second push. Because all I need to do is be one of the top two vote getters.
Yes, and exactly.
With that, then I can make, I can get past the primary, and then, more time will be allocated, more resources will come forward, and, see if we can't, change some of this, because I don't understand. I haven't heard much from any of our council members over this, especially when our illustrious mayor, wanted to shut everything down. And then that was about the time that I had filled out my application and everything. And I had groups contacting me. How can we help you? So, I'm ready for that challenge, and I'm hoping that, get us past the primary, and then we can make a big effort.
Good. Let's put the hands or the city of Reno back into the hands of the people of Reno. Kurt Gottschalk, thank you so much for joining us. And we'll be looking for that. Make sure you call back and give us the information on when you get your social media and everything out. We've only got weeks to go. But again, I tell people, if you haven't voted yet, don't wait. Or, you know, don't fill out that ballot yet. You've got to wait and find out all the information that you can. So, and we've got to unseat that rhino of Neoma Jardin. We'll be back right after this with Randy, who wants to talk about COVID tests on the job after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Right now, there is only one radio station talking about what's going on in Northern Nevada, live and local, right now. 99.1 KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
It's the Monica J. Show, as we've got about 15 minutes worth of stuff to cram into 4 minutes here. Let's just jump to the phone lines and check in with Randy this morning. He's been waiting for a bit. Wanted to talk about COVID tests on the job. Hi, Randy.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great. What do you think about the tests on the job?
Well, I think personally that I'm not going to take, I don't want to take one. But my big thing is, what happens if one of your coworkers tests positive and the company decides to test everyone that's been around that person, that's been in contact with that person? Do you feel that it should be up to the employee as to whether or not they take it? Or do you think that the company should make them be allowed to make them take that due to the exposure?
I still think it should be up to the individual. No matter what.
That's my thoughts.
Yeah. We're supposed to have rights in this country, and I know that they're screaming to protect others, to protect the more vulnerable, but there are people out there who have been exposed, easily been exposed, and they're still not getting it. So, Randy, thanks for the question. But again, I think it is up to the individual, and your job should not depend on it. Knocking out a couple of things here before we have to go. And that is, of course, where has Antifa been? We're seeing all of this protesting and all of these rallies going on. Well, let me tell you, Antifa tried to get something started in Minnesota in one of these protests. And it was actually the black protesters who shut Antifa down because they were doing it responsibly. They were peacefully out there letting their voice be heard. And once again, Antifa tried to start something. This, I think, is really going to start something. You know, I'm not a fan of ABC, but their medical reporter has just posted a tweet. ABC looked at 21 states that eased restrictions May 4th or even earlier and found no major increases in hospitalizations, deaths, or the percentage of people testing positive in any of them. South Carolina, Montana, Georgia, Mississippi, South Dakota, Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, North Dakota, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Wyoming, Kansas, Florida, Idaho, Montana. Did I say Montana? Missouri, Nebraska, and Ohio. What are we doing, people? We need to shut this down. The Democrats are going to destroy this state. I hope I see you tomorrow. Rally. Stand up for Nevada. Get Nevada back open. Let your voice be heard in front of the state capitol, in front of the state legislature tomorrow in Carson City. We're going to take over that whole area. Please come with your signs. Come with your flags. Come with your heart open and your voice heard. Rally tomorrow, Carson City, 11 a.m. If you get there at 11:30, that's fine. If you get there at 10:30, that's fine too. But we start at 11 o'clock. I hope I see you there. I'm going to be there for this one, and you know, I've tried to make as many as I could, but something happened in my family. But I will be there with you during this one and the next one and the next one and the next one, because I do not see Governor Sisolak doing anything responsible to get us all open. Look at the restrictions he just made on gyms. You got to have social distancing, 6 feet apart. Does he even know what a spotter is? What happens when somebody hurts themselves because they don't have a spotter within a foot of them? This guy is a joke. We deserve better than this. Love you. Have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow. Be blessed this weekend.